A lot of people live according to what they have. But it's better when you don't have anything because you learn how to be a servant. Today, you look at people in ministry, what do? These young pastors, they go ahead, they start a ministry, they buy a house, they buy a car. But what about the people? And Chuck made it very clear. He says, you take care of the people before you take care of yourself. And that is an important factor today that needs to be done.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once lived only for himself, but since putting his faith in Christ, he's discovered the joy of obeying God's call to pour his time and energy into the lives of others. For a free DVD of Raul's inspiring story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Thanks for joining us on this first day of 2021. Raul and Sharon are here with us in the studio to encourage us in setting goals for this new year that will have an eternal spiritual impact. As they share personal stories of being led by God in ministry, we pray that you'll be inspired to listen for the Lord's call on your life. Stay with us for this challenge to take a leap of faith with God wherever He leads. Here's your host, Sean McKeon.
Well, we are back in the Somebody Loves You studio. We have Pastor Raul with us and Sharon Reese. The title, the theme is going to be A Heart for Missions, but I do want to catch up a little bit with Sharon as well. Sharon, there's been a lot of people wanting you to be on the show, actually. They've been commenting. Because they make sure that you bring a Sharon on the show, so that's been really cool and encouraging. 2020 has been a crazy year for all of us. But Sharon, how are you feeling? How is 2020 treating you? I know you guys have the we were just talking about the grandkids being around a lot, but it's been a tough year.
Don't talk about grandkids.
Well, I have 9 grandchildren, and they keep me busy. And right now, we have our son Ryan and his wife Crystal, and their 4 little children, the triplets and a baby, waking us up at 5 in the morning every day. And it's the joy of my life. Yeah. It really is. I love it. I love spending a lot of time with them. So I don't mind being locked up at home.
Yeah, and Sharon, you were on this last year, and we talked about the beginning of when Raul's marriage book came out. And now we want to talk about the calling of God, because with all that's taking place in our world today, I think a lot of people are questioning what's going to happen in the United States of America. One thing that we emphasize is God's on the throne, and we have to remember that, and that God has called us in this time of world history, church history, and we have to be open for what God has for us. Hopefully, this is an opportunity for a lot of people to seek out what God is calling them to do. Raul, when it comes to the calling of God on your own personal life, when did you discover that you were called to be an evangelist and a pastor? What was that?
When I got saved, I went to Baum Park High School, and I began to see that God gave me the gift of evangelism, because I didn't know the Bible. I was learning with Pastor Chuck Smith and my wife, and I would get up on a little picnic bench and talk to these kids. They were kids. I was 24. And they start throwing milk at me and a little kick on me. And I go, Lord, let me kill these little rats. But, you know, the message went out. And it touched all these kids. And I didn't want to be a pastor, number one. I didn't want to have a ministry. But the Lord, since I got saved in my home with my wife, we started having a ministry.
Well, both of you have been a part of this ministry that we talk about, like it birthed in the home, and then everyone knows the story, how it just blossomed from different locations all the way to West Covina to the current time. But let me transition this a little bit, Sharon, because as the Lord called Raul, like you said, to be a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, you also have your own special call, and you have a godly heritage that has been entrusted to you by your parents. Many people have heard the story of the South America influence and you growing up in the mission field. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let the audience know, kind of, you know, paint that picture again, growing up in the missions, but also how you discovered your own personal call and that burden for missions.
As I was sharing, I didn't have that passion for souls, but I started praying as I was home, and after I would see thousands of people come to the Lord through the ministry that the Lord had given Raul, I just started putting the Bible on my heart and praying and asking the Lord, I want that passion. I mean, here I've been in the Lord my whole life. I grew up in Colombia and in Chile with missionary parents, and I didn't have that. And I thought, something's wrong. And so I started asking the Lord to give me that. The Lord, even before he was a Christian, and I felt that I was just completely, I had ruined my life by marrying an unbeliever, the Lord gave me a scripture in Isaiah 54 where it says, single barren, you who have not born. And then it goes on to say, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and the left, and your descendants will inherit the earth. And the Lord just started showing me, open up your home, open up your life, extend the tents. And so I started reaching out to the neighborhood kids, and that's how it started. The Lord showed me, I am going to give you a ministry, and it's going to be a passion. Well, my passion was for the little kids in the neighborhood, so we started that. Fast forward years later, when Raul already had Calvary Chapel in West Covina, I still felt like there has to be more for me. My parents had been missionaries. I had grown up on the mission field. I always wanted to go back, but I didn't have that passion. And I went to Colombia to visit my parents. They were missionaries in Colombia. And I had my three boys, and Ryan was six at the time, my older boys were 11 and 12. And I was sitting in a hammock in the ruins of the mission that they had built in the 40s. They had spent 10 years, and the revolution had burnt down the mission and imprisoned my dad, and they left the mission field. Yeah. And I was sitting in a hammock and inheriting this building, thinking, what is going to happen in this building? It's been in ruins for 40 years.
Burned.
And I inherited it. And I had these three little kids. I could see the trees going down in the jungle. They were with machetes cutting down the trees. And I thought, I have three little boys to raise. My call was always my children in the neighborhood kids. Yeah. And the Lord gave me Isaiah 60, and I'm not going to read it because it's very long. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has come upon you. When I read those two words, arise and shine, something happened in my heart. Mm-hmm. It goes on to say that strangers will build these ruins, that your children will come from afar. Mm-hmm. And I read the whole thing, and I knew that it was in my heart. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that a lot of people ask. They say, well, how do you know if it's your call? Well, we read all the time, and we read all kinds of great things. Every day I read, and I read great things. But when God calls you, he imprints that in your heart. And when he said, arise and shine, I felt that this mission, destroyed mission, and myself, we were one. He was calling me to arise, and he was calling this place to be used for the Lord again. Yeah. So I came home, and I was bawling, reading the whole thing, not understanding what half of it meant, except it does say those who afflicted you, those who destroyed you, will come back bending on their knees. And that actually has happened. Wow. Yeah. People, we have the guy that runs it, his dad was a terrorist in the old days. Yeah. And so I came home and I told Raul, you have a mission, you have a call, go build it. And he says, God hasn't called me to do this, he called you. And I just saw myself as a mother with three crazy kids. And I go, what do you mean? He says, put in the bulletin for some builders to come and help you, to go down there and help them build it. And I said, well, will I have money for this? He says, well, where the Lord guides, he provides. In the beginning of Calvary, it was where the Lord guides, he provides. Yeah. And so sure enough, about 2 days before we left, all the workers that went, about 40 of them, they had the money to pay their way. And just before I left, somebody said, I inherited $500 and I want to give it to this mission out in the jungle. They'd heard my mom and dad speak. And so we went with $500. I had to have faith in God for provision for the whole thing.
And your middle name's Faith.
Raul, you've seen her burden for South America. Why do you think that is so important and that work in South America?
First of all, I'll say she's a full-on missionary. She's one that believes by faith. She has a burden like her mom and dad and I guess her grandparents because she saw how her parents suffered, no? And then how they rebuilt that mission station. And then it was given to her, and she's never, ever stopped building that place. And now it's a beautiful place that we're going to be using for a Bible school, and people are coming from all over the place. So to me, if you have a call, it burns. I mean, there's no possible way you can do it unless it burns. Mm-hmm. Like she said about me, we're here because it burns in our hearts. Mm-hmm. We haven't retired. We haven't done anything because we don't feel, I don't feel like retiring. I feel that you don't retire to get to heaven. God has a call, whether you're young or old, and you have to hear the voice of God and know the voice of God to do God's will.
Yeah.
That's important.
You know, a lot of times you say true missionaries. I hear you say that. What does that mean to you when you say true missionaries?
True missionaries, they don't have nice houses. They don't have nice cars. When they're called, they go by faith like her parents did by mule. And then when they get there, they live by faith and they have a little house, whatever. They live among the people, not away from the people. Mm. That's important.
Yes. That's important.
People that today, you need to live with the people in order to minister to the people. Otherwise, how are they going to hear you?
What would you add to that, Sharon? Because it seems like you're agreeing with what he's saying. Because I've heard Raul say that multiple times, of like they are true missionaries.
My parents were true missionaries.
Yep.
And I can say that because hundreds, maybe thousands of people know them and know how they were true missionaries. What is a true missionary? I lived that life with my parents. It means that you go and you live with the people. Mm-hmm. We met many missionaries that would live up in the upper sections of Santiago. And then they would come in and do their little Bible study. And you'd never see the wife or the kids because they were going to the elite schools. Mm-hmm. And they weren't with the people. We were with the people. I've always said, who taught me? My mother. We went to the schools where the poor people go. We didn't even go to the missionary schools. We didn't have the money for me to go
to
a special
school. That's why it's true missionaries.
Mm. And so when they had Catholic class in the school, they'd throw my sister out in the rain because we weren't Catholic. But my mother would teach us. Everywhere we went, my mom and my dad taught us. But we'd go to the regular schools. Finally, she took us out when we were preteens, and she taught us in the Bible school. We lived in mission, not in little houses, as Raul said. We lived in the missions with all the people.
Yep.
We had a mission everywhere we went. Mm-hmm. The one in Colombia, they built it right out of the trees in the forest.
Amazing places.
And my dad, many times my dad was offered to be the overseer of the Church of God or the Church of whatever, of all South America. And he never wanted to do that. He taught us, you go and you sit with the people in their little homes. You have tea with them. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the poor people. My mother would take us to be with the rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Up in La Reina in Santiago, and we would sit there and she'd teach us how to, you know,
behave.
Use all our manners and behave, and we would eat with the rich as the maids served us, and then we'd go and sit in a little shack in Poor Town.
And they touched the rich people.
Mm.
To us, a true missionary, and Raul was able to observe that real close, is and living by faith. I never heard my parents ask for money, and we never had a lot of money. God just provided, and we were so excited. When
they met Chuck Smith, that's why.
We got a new pair of shoes, or we got a new dress, and we were just so excited. And the pastors in South America have all learned to live by faith.
Yeah. Yes.
And if I would have gone down there with thousands of dollars, and let's build this, and let's build that, it would be a whole different ministry.
Yeah.
But we went down there, and I said, hey, if all we do is scrape the cockroaches off the mission and clean the place up, we've done our job.
Yeah.
Sharon, talk to someone out there right now that maybe their heart is starting getting moved towards missions. And I think this has to do with the call a lot. Sometimes you're uncertain. There comes a time where God will speak to you through the word and probably confirm and give that legit burden in the heart. But what would you say to somebody that's kind of questioning, maybe they have that desire for missions right now?
Now you can make me cry. If God's moving you into that field, or you're thinking, I want to know. I want to know more about it because that's where I was. Here I'd been a missionary, and here Raul's the one. Everybody's getting saved, and I'm just sitting home. Ask God. There's a scripture. I think it's in Psalm 2. You can correct me. That says, ask of me, and I will give you the uttermost parts of the world for your inheritance. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I saw that, that's where I put my Bible. And I said, I am asking. I am asking. Give me the uttermost parts of the world. And for me, that meant the uttermost parts of South America. And I just kept asking. But I was home. I didn't have a car. We didn't have a lot of money when the ministry first started.
Yep.
So we only had one car. Raul would hitchhike to Calvary. And I had a van. I'd load it up with kids. But I would just say, I felt so stuck. Like, I love my kids, but I want to go. And it just seemed like forever. But then the day came that the Lord opened the doors. My dad used to say, the call of God is right in front of you. We all have a call, but do you want it? Do you really want it? Because they always say, it'll require great sacrifice. Oh, yeah, what are you going to sacrifice? A bunch of dumb stuff that you don't need. But when you go, everybody says that when I'm on the mission field, I'm a different person. I mean,
you are.
What you get from God is so much richer, so much greater. It's God's call flowing through you. I mean, there's nothing richer than that. It is the most amazing thing. And so I would just tell them, just keep asking. And when an opportunity, a lot of people that have come to us and gone on trips, that's what they're doing. They're trying to find out, am I called to do this? And I've seen so many people go with us that were called. And then you might come back and maybe you won't go be a missionary, but maybe you'll support missionaries.
Right, you have a burden,
Maybe you'll support students so that they can study. In essence, you could be reaching the Amazons because you're supporting through prayer, through giving, through, we used to say letter writing, but through social media. You're helping the people. But don't give up. Don't give up. Just any opportunity that you have, go. But again, I want to emphasize, when God calls you, there's no doubt. That call controls your very being. And it drives you. And I want to be on God's mission throughout eternity. I'm facing eternity right now. So I want to be on that mission throughout eternity. The Lord says, where I am, my servant will be. And I want to be where he is. That's where I want to be.
How we started the show was that, like, we're living in incredible days right now. There are opportunities all around us.
Everywhere.
There is a world that is hurting here in the United States of America. People are hurting. There's a lot of confusion. The world is in need. We know that Chile's going through a lot of stuff right now. There's multiple places all across the nation. Colombia is going through a lot right
Hong
now.
Hong Kong, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. We got to continue to pray. And I'm glad that you brought that up, Sharon, because the call of God is important. And when the perspective changes, what are you really giving up? And like you said, the fulfilling of being used by God oversees any of those things.
Everything.
Well, for you, like you said, you didn't know that you didn't want to be a pastor. But then as God started working in your heart, it's like what Paul says, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe is me if I don't fulfill this calling of God. You're continuing fulfilling the call of God in your life. That's what keeps you.
Sharon and I, we're willing to give up everything because we know those things are going to burn anyways. Chuck used to tell us they'll burn. A lot of people live according to what they have. But it's better when you don't have anything because you learn how to be a servant. You learn how to pray for things that you need in your life. Today, you look at people in ministry. What do? These young pastors, they go ahead, they start a ministry, they buy a house, they buy a car. But what about the people? And Chuck made it very clear. He says, you take care of the people before you take care of yourself. And that is an important factor today that needs to be done.
Well, you're teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians right now. You just finished chapter 13. You did chapter 12 prior, chapter 14. All of it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's really what the church needs to do right now. They need to identify what the giftings and callings are upon their lives, because there are some that are called to be pastors and teachers and to shepherd a flock that's been entrusted to them. There are those that are called to go to the mission field. There are those that have the call of an evangelist. There are those that have the ability of hospitality and all the gifts that are there. And when you are in that sweet spot, that place where God has called you and anointed you, everything flows by God's Spirit. Doesn't mean that you're not going to go through challenges. You're going to go through challenges.
You don't strive.
Right? Yeah. So even when you're faced with a circumstance before you, like, what's going to happen if this doesn't go? The calling of God. The like, you know that God's called you.
Or not. Pastor Dale knows, my wife knows this. I've never lost hope. I know that God called me here, and like I keep telling you guys, God called me here. I thought he was going to call me like West Covina. He never did. He kept us here because we've seen the hand of God upon this church. In South America, what's happened to us is just incredible. We can't believe it, what God's done.
Well, like I said, a special announcement that I have right now as well is that on the Somebody Loves You app, if you have not downloaded, I encourage you. Many have, and it's a blessing. So many of Pastor Rawl's studies are on there. Genesis to Revelation, topical studies, but also we are adding some Spanish studies this weekend, and we're going to be adding the pastoral epistles in Spanish. Yes. The pastoral epistles are 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. We thought it would be fitting because leadership's so important. This will be a blessing to those that are listening from South America, all over the place here in the States. If you speak Spanish, they will be a blessing. They are pastoral studies that he has taught that are translated in Spanish, so you don't want to miss that. Sharon, share with the audience why those conferences that you do, because you do them every year in South America, are so special for you.
Well, mainly because we get together with all the pastors and their leaders in Chile. They're all the way from northern Chile to the Antarctic, mm-hmm. and yeah. they can never be together. They get to be together. We get to spend time. I love to just sit and talk to the wives, and we have women's conferences too, yeah. and to the pastors and all their leaders. It's just, for me, that's the most exciting thing, is that I get to be together with all of them. But the other thing is, and which is probably the most important thing, is to see how the Holy Spirit works. Mm-hmm. Every time they come, yeah. they're just so empowered by the yeah. Holy Spirit to take the gospel. It leaves me breathless to see. And they're bringing their youth and their young ministers, and they are just powerhouses yeah. for the Lord. In Colombia, they come from the jungles. They come mm-hmm. from all over the place, and they meet in one place. And it's just a wonderful time to share with them and watch the work of the Holy Spirit. He empowered us to go forth and to reach yeah. all nations and to see the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and move among them as they come together. Mm.
Well, what do you take from, because you too, you have a very busy schedule throughout the year. It's crazy. I know you hate being away from the congregation that God has called yes. you to, but you do go out there every year. Why has that time been so special for you over the years?
Well, to meet with the pastors, to hear their hearts and see what they really are intending to do the following year. Like yesterday when we came on, I mean, all these pastors were online. It was so cool because you had the old guys and you had the young guys. And they couldn't believe that they could be together and hear each other's hearts mm-hmm. and then to see what my heart is for them. Mm-hmm. And it was really just amazing. We're going to do that more often now.
Yeah, that is so cool. Yeah. Well, a heart for missions, that's why we wanted to do this show today. And we hope that during this episode and those that will be listening in the future, we'll have a heart for missions. And there's many ways. Number one, pray. Pray that the Lord would just do a work in your life. And there are those that have the calling. And maybe when that opportunity arises, like Sharon says, go. You can pray, but you can also give to the missions.
Yes.
And if you actually go on the Somebody Loves You app, there's also Calvary Chapel Golden Springs. You can toggle down. And there is one that's designated just to missions. So if your heart is to give towards the missions, we give you that opportunity as well. The other thing too, let me just bring it up again. The release of the pastoral epistles in Spanish taken from pastoral studies, they will be a blessing to you. Pastoral epistles, again, are very important books when it comes to leadership. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. So download the Somebody Loves You app today, and then you will be alerted when those studies upload. Sharon, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Wasn't that bad, right?
I'm always scared to death, but you know, when the Lord takes over, you just get strong. I'll go home shaking.
Raul, closing words.
Let the people know we love them. You know, we pray for them. Pray for us that God will open more doors so we can get the gospel out to people. We don't want to put ourselves out there. We want Jesus out there. And that's what my heart is.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in for Straight Talk. Thank you, guys. And we'd love to hear from you. Take care.
As you set fresh goals for the year ahead, we hope that Raul and Sharon have inspired you to explore new avenues of ministry with the Lord directing your steps. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to listen to this interview again, we'll send you the complete copy for a donation of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and request today's Straight Talk with Raul and Sharon. We'd also like to tell you about a new biography sharing the story of Sharon's lifelong journey with God. Titled The Well-Trodden Path, this book paints a vivid picture of how the Lord can work through those whose hearts are completely surrendered to His will. You'll catch a fresh vision for kingdom service as you explore the spiritual legacy handed down to Sharon by her missionary ancestors and ponder the redemptive healing God has used in Sharon's life to minister to others. Get in touch with us to purchase this motivational new biography. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you The Well-Trodden Path for a gift of just $5 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. To order this resource by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. As you evaluate how God might use you to minister to others, we invite you to utilize our many free Somebody Loves You resources. Don't forget our new Spanish podcasts of Ross' teaching in the Pastoral Epistles, which will soon become available on our phone app. If you haven't already, be sure to download this app to your iPhone or Android. You can also enjoy more Straight Talk with Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at noon West Coast time. This Q&A program shines a scriptural spotlight on current world issues, and it's free to all of Raul's YouTube subscribers. For additional teaching, download any Somebody Loves You radio program as a podcast using Spotify or iTunes. Well, in this new year, our commitment to you remains unchanged. We're dedicating all of our efforts toward enriching your heart and life with the truth of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you if you have any new ideas into how we can serve you better. This ministry is made possible through listeners like you, and your tax-deductible donations help keep these broadcasts on the air. Well, it's been good to spend the first day of 2021 with you, and we hope you'll join us next time for more encouragement to keep the eternal purposes of God at the center of everything you do this year. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.